Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to another edition of the Premier View podcast. This week I'm joined by former Tipperary ladies football captain, Samantha Lambert. She's looking at me funny here. And present Tipperary Camogie player, Seán O'Quirk. You're very welcome, girls.
Thanks a million for having me.
Thank you.
Samantha, I'll come to you first. So I suppose I said former in the introduction. You made the decision to retire back in January after serving Tip for so many years. I texted you back in January and you said it was the hardest decision of your life. Was it a decision you had decided on much prior to that, or did it just come to you kind of over the Christmas period?
No, I suppose I had kind of a fair idea there last year that I was probably that could have been my last year. And I suppose the way the year went, I was nearly hoping that we'd finish out in Championship, because I had it in my head that this probably be that would have been the last year. And I kind of knew, I suppose, in the Monaghan game, our last game, that was my last time I'd be in a Tip dressing room. And I suppose I was very upset after the game. And the girls, I don't think, realised like why I was so upset. Like, they're like, geez, and after getting relegated or anything like that, like, no, calm down. But I couldn't stop crying the whole way home. And I travelled with Sarah Jean, one of the selectors last year. I travelled home with her from the same club. So she thought there was something wrong altogether. I just couldn't stop crying. But I suppose, it just came to, I just was so emotional because I knew myself it was probably the last game. But it wasn't something that I thought about overnight. It was a long old process. And I suppose there's many, a night that I sit out in the kitchen with Dad, like going, Jesus, is it the right thing? Is it not? And it is a hard decision, like, and it didn't come easy. Like, you know, there was a lot of sleepless nights too, but I just felt at the end of the day it was probably the best decision for me. And I was kind of content with that then when I had my decision made. I suppose it was a difficult phone call ringing Declan Carr too, like, and I'd say when I rang him and I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth, and he's like, this one's cracked altogether. And he did ask me to go in and think about it, and I did. I thought about it again, but look, the same emotions were going through my head, like, and it was only making it worse for myself. So I just wanted to make the decision that I had already had made, and I finally got the words out of my mouth to tell him I wasn't going to be playing for Tip this year. So not an easy decision, but look, I think it's the best, and look, the girls are in a great place, and I know that they'll do Tip proud in the future.
Yeah, so you probably, this week, obviously, the inter-county teams are back training. You're probably looking on at envy there at Seán after arriving back in from training, just after showering and whatnot. But a tinge of jealousy maybe that you're not back out in the field, or you're happy with the decision?
I know. I think I'm happy with the decision. Obviously, you're going to miss not being with the girls, and I think that's probably the biggest thing I'll miss. is not the is the social element, not seeing them at training, whatever about the matches and the training sessions. It's about being with them and having the crack with them. So that's what I miss, all right. But I'm in contact with most of them the whole time anyway. Like, there's no getting rid of me like that either. But no, as was this, I am looking on it and going, what are you doing at training? And the matches too, like, it'll hit me fairly hard there when they're playing the matches. But as I said, they've plenty of potential and I can see them doing really, really well this year, and I really hope they do.
Yeah. So you mentioned that when you're stepping away and Tipperary football is in a great place and have a lot of success over the last couple of years, and there's been a lot of progress made by the team in the last couple of years, competing really well in Division 1 of the league, had a number of good young players now populating the panel. Is it a case of trying to let that team develop themselves? And did that contribute to your decision that there was a lot of young players to step in now and it was a good time to step away?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I know that there was always a strong panel there, like, and they're so young, even comparison to other county squads. There's such a young profile there, so like, they can only get better, they can only progress, and I think they've the right management in place to bring them where they need to go. And I think few pieces that they could work on, maybe strength and conditioning and just getting up to speed with like the decision making of senior county teams, I think will be two areas that they will work on. And I know Declan and his management team will no doubt have the plans in place to get them better and develop those skills. So they're serious players in that squad, and I know there's true leaders there too, and they'll drive them forward, and they will continue to up the game and compete with the senior teams this year and the years to follow.
Yeah. So in 2017, you obviously captained them for the first time to win the intermediate and went up senior in 2018, and I think there was five or six games, and while you lost them all, you were very close in all of them. But I remember back in 08, the first, I would say they won the intermediate, and in 09 there was no relegation. I think you kind of got a year's grace when you went up into the senior rank. Is that something that, I don't know, when I think it was probably around 13 or 14 that went, but is that something that should be there for, say, first teams that break into that senior grade for the first time, just to give them that 12 months to kind of settle into the grade?
Yeah, no, I really think there should be. I was on that squad and the panel in 2008, like, and I suppose for me, even getting that year up, so I was only after joining the intermediate there in 2008, we won it, and getting that year playing senior, I know we lost the majority of the games, we could have been relegated, there was a relegation system in place, but we didn't. We had that that time up senior before we came back down to intermediate, and really you learn so much from being up in senior level. And I do think you should be allowed a year's grace. Like you could see there in 2017 or 2018, yeah, when we did get relegated, it was by a small margin, you know, like we were in the group of death, they called it that year, and against Kerry and Donegal, like two massive ladies football counties and two really, really strong competitors. So like, we lost both those games, I think was it 1 or 2 points.
Yeah,
we were well up there competing with them. So I think like getting relegated that year was hard to take, and it was heartbreaking, especially losing two relegation games. I suppose we just, game after game, then we were kind of just, our confidence was down and injuries went against us and whatnot. But look, we learned from our mistakes. We came up, we got back up senior, and I think maybe it was a blessing in disguise. A lot of the girls, the younger girls especially, got the chance of that winning feeling and being in Croke Park, and they now see how to progress on, and it gave them the year in intermediate to help them with the step up to adult level, because it's a huge step up. So like you're saying, from minor to intermediate, never mind say from minor to senior. So they got that experience, and I think we competed in well, really well, last year against Galway and Monaghan, losing both games again by a point. It seems to be a bad habit, but look, we're proving that Tip can compete, and we're in a shout.
Yeah, the you mentioned the 2018 time, and you went back down intermediate, and I think from the very start you were probably everyone's favourite to win the intermediate that year, and even going into the final, like I remember looking at saying these girls aren't going to be bet, but Meath gave you a fierce fright that day and nearly caught you. And was there a bit of complacency that day, do you think, or was it a good, was it good to get that fright going up and win, obviously, and then go up into the senior knowing that, hey, listen, we can't rest on our laurels?
Yeah, like we knew Meath were going to be an excellent side and we were going to be up against it. I suppose we wouldn't be a cocky side by any means. Like, you know, we go out to do our best and follow the system that's put in place and just believe in the process and just hope for the outcome. But by no means did we take Meath for granted. And I think they're a phenomenal side. We've seen that they won the intermediate last year. They're now up in senior themselves and they really did put it up against us. It was an excellent game. And I think it was probably, from what I hear, it was the game of that year. Like, to know that it was really, really exciting to watch. But no, by no means would we be complacent against any of the teams, really. We knew that anything can happen in ladies football. It's a bit of a wild old game. But they really put it up to us and it was a great game. And I suppose to come out the better end of it was even sweeter.
Yeah. So you mentioned Shane Ronan having managed you there for the last 4 years. And he won four National League titles, two All-Ireland titles, but Shane obviously made that decision to go on and he's with the Waterford senior men's team now and Declan Carr has stepped in. But would say, did your decision to retire coincide with Shane? Did that have any impact on your decision?
No, not particularly. As I said, I didn't know what Shane was doing and what his story was. I decided last year I was supposed to get married there last May, as well as a few other days. And we're building a house as well. So it was my decision, I suppose, all COVID aside, to kind of maybe end in my career last year. I wasn't sure as to what Shane was doing, but he announced that he was retiring as well. And look, Shane is an excellent manager. I've had him for UCC, for college, and for TIP, for school. So I'm well used to him. And he really did develop TIP ladies football and like really progress us in different skills, in the way we gel together and the culture we created. So like, you know, he's left us in a good place. And I know Declan Carr will bring them to the level as well. So I've no doubt that the girls will really progress under Declan too. And I know his heart and soul is in it, and he's going to drive them forward, no doubt. Yeah.
So the ladies game in the county is certainly grown in terms of talent and young players being churned out. I mean, you yourself were there. We've got Aisling Maloney, Orla Dwyer, Aisling McCarthy, the two Kendies from Aherlow, two fantastic footballers, fantastic ambassadors for the game and big role models for the stars of the future. Just how high do you think this team can climb and is the best yet to come for this team at senior level?
Yeah, like as I said, like the age profile of the team now, like I was kind of holding them back for a while. I was bringing up the age profile, but they're extremely young. Like majority, I think all of them nearly are under 25, like, you know, so they can only get better. And I think if they focus on their strengths and weaknesses and play to their strengths, everyone has strengths. And I just think like the likes who you mentioned there, Aisling McCarthy, the two Kennedys are phenomenal athletes. Like, I'm sure you have the one and only Maloney too. Like, so, you know, they have such talent there, and they're a well-gelled team. They get on really, really well. And I just think it's about building on their weaknesses, maybe strength and conditioning, getting that little bit stronger to break the tackle. I think that's where we may have struggled there last year, the year before, you know, breaking the tackle against the more physical teams and maybe a bit of decision making. But that comes with experience as well, like, you know. So I think as they get the experience of the senior games under their belt, and I think being up Division One has really, really helped us as well. And it set us up well in the Intermediate Championship that year in 2019, because we had the experience of playing senior games and we knew how hard it was and how we had to, if we wanted to slow down a game or if we wanted to speed it up or hold the ball, like we had that experience from those games and it really stood to us. And I think being up Division One, staying up senior is top priority for to play football, to progress in the future.
Yeah. So just looking forward to this year then. So Division 1 of the league has been split into two groups, and Tipper are in with Waterford, Cork and All-Ireland champions Dublin in Division 1B. It'll start around the weekend of the 22nd of May, where Tip take on Waterford. Last year, you went out against Dublin and drew with them, a great result. It'll be a big ask for them in the league, though. They're three serious teams, but obviously the teams that you want to be playing in the league.
Yeah, like, geez, I don't think either group would have been an easy group to get, to be honest. Like, you know, you're not going to come across any easy team up in Division 1, and even we seen last year in Monaghan, like, they really put it up to us in the second championship game, second round, like, and we lost in by a point. Like, they really come on again in the last couple of years. And look, Dublin, sure, who else do you want to be playing? Only the All-Ireland champions. And I think that's where Tip are going to improve, by playing these teams and challenging themselves to the best, to be the best they can be. So they should be looking forward to it, should relish the opportunity and learn from it, learn from the players that they're marking. Like, you have to give respect to the likes of Cork and Dublin. Like, you know, they've been there, they've done that, they've been there on the big days, like, you know, so you have to respect them, but you have to respect yourself as well and drive forward and believe in themselves. And I think belief is a huge issue and a huge thing to bring into a match. If you don't believe, you might as well stay at home, like, you know. So no matter what they're going up against or who they're going playing, I think if they believe in themselves and they believe that they can win, I think they will. And I think that's half the battle, really. I know they might have the Brendan Martin Cup there with the last few years, but I don't think that's a major issue when it comes to playing them. You know, anything will happen on the day, and they're just as good as footballers as Dublin has, or as Cork have, or as Waterford have. So I think there could be a few surprises in league and championship this year.
Good. So look, I hope retirement from the county scene doesn't mean that we won't see you in the maroon of Ardfinnan in 2021. But you had a great year in 2020, winning the Junior A, and that's a great achievement for you to get up intermediate. Again, you were there, I suppose, previous years, but a great achievement for the club to get back up there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was itching to get out of junior, to be honest. And I think when you're playing county and you go back, it's kind of a split season. Like, I think it's important to get back to a strong training squad when you have other girls on the panel that are going back to senior teams and train with senior club, like, you know. So you want to be up there. I suppose you always want to be the best at the top, at the best ranked competition. So you want to be up senior, like, and, you know, I'll be driving the girls again forward this year for intermediate, like, to get back up to senior and compete. So no, it was, and it was a huge boost, I suppose, for Finn and ladies to win the junior last year. And it was nice actually to be able to train with them, you know, the way it fell last year, to be able to train fully with them. I don't think I've ever actually committed to them fully since being on the county team. So it was nice to get to know the girls, because I suppose that bond just isn't there when you're not there yourself at club training and you rock on there every now and again. So it was nice to get to know the girls, because a lot of them are younger than me. Jeez, I trained the majority of them, I'd say, for cool camps. So it was great to be there and kind of get to know them. So yeah, hopefully we can push it forward again this year and up the training intensity and the numbers as well. Like, you know, it'll help the interest for the younger girls in the club, and it's good to get back up to intermediate and play newer teams and new clubs again, and hopefully we can push it on again.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier, and you mentioned it, that you were part-time. I bring you in here, Sean, as well. Back in 2008, you came onto the panel as a sprightly 16-year-old, I think, and that team was captained by the great Angie Mack, a dual star. She is All-Ireland senior camogie, and she captained the football team that year. And Shauna, you would have played with her as well, but like, she's a tremendous role model for anyone that came in, and must have been a hero for both of you. Shauna, you would have played football with her, and camogie, I'd say, with Anna Carty over the years, and Sam, obviously, with the senior football team. Like, she's a phenomenal athlete, wasn't she?
Class, yeah. Like, I suppose if I'm being honest, Angie's probably my role model from when I was young. Like, and I've always said that to her. So she's like, all right, Like, no, Angie was definitely my role model when I was growing up. And I suppose I was lucky enough to play with her there in 2008 and 2009, I'm not sure. But I always looked up to her. And I suppose she, yeah, as you mentioned there, she did captain the tip team when we won 2008. And I suppose Angie was never a woman of too many words, but of her actions. And I think like that says a lot for a real true leader. Like she didn't have to say too much, but her actions kind of spoke for her words. And like we might be losing by 3 points or something, and you would run the length of the field with the ball and score an unbelievable goal. Like, you know, and she just lifted everyone. Like, you know, and took her to do something spectacular for everyone else to jump on the bandwagon, you know. So no, she was a phenomenal role model and an excellent athlete, like, and someone I really looked up to. Yeah.
Yeah, she was actually a role model for me as well, to be fair. Like, I remember when I started up with the club with Kappa with football, I'd say I was only 16, 17 at the time, and she was Angie McDermott, like, but she was playing full back in county finals, and like I could be corner forward, but Angie would solo up the whole length of the field and score a point. Like, she's just unbelievable. Like,
yeah, phenomenal. So that's the voice of Shauna Quirk there from the Tip Camogie team. Shauna, new season is almost upon us. You must be delighted to be back on the training field and looking forward to getting some games under your belt.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. I was actually, I won't lie now, I was a bit nervous, like, thinking about going back training. You know, when you'd be out of practice for a while, you'd be nervous, like, geez, am I going to be unfit? Or, well, we started back on Tuesday and we're into our second session tonight, and it was just unreal to meet everyone again, like, and the buzz is there. We've new management, like, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, so you mentioned Bill Mullaney is in charge again for the coming year, and and in that time he's been there, he's made some incremental changes to the team. You're happy to have him and Keane back on board?
Yeah, so this year we have Bill as manager, and Angela Walsh is in as our strength and conditioning coach. He actually guided Bursley men's to the All-Ireland club final. So we were really happy to hear that he was on board. And I suppose we've Dennis Kelly in as a trainer as well, and he trained Timmy Barr and men's team. Like, so it's really good, like, to see that these really good trainers are getting involved with female teams, like, you know, and they're unbelievable, like, and it was just a new intensity this year with them coming on board. Like, everyone is ready to go for the year ahead, like, so hopefully good things can come now this year.
Yeah, so just looking back on last year, you got to the league final and it was scheduled to play in Croke Park, to be played in Croke Park. Was it a big disappointment not to have that experience under your belt?
Yes, I suppose we went up to Galway and we played them in the league semi, and sure, like, they were All-Ireland champions, so we had nothing to lose really going out playing them in the league semi, and we bet them then, and it was nearly like we won in All-Ireland, like, beating them then. So we were all looking forward to the final, like, and the chance to even play in Croke Park, because a lot of us haven't really played there, like, and it was cancelled then. So I suppose we just refocused in on the championship, and we got to the semis and we fell short in the end. But like, when you think back in it, like, we were missing like four of our starting forwards. Like, we were missing Orla. She went to Australia. Ashley Maloney was a loss. She got a red card, unfortunately, at the start of the season. And Nicole Walsh was out with injury, and a few more. Like, so, I mean, it's looking good this year. Hopefully now we can try and push that extra mile to get to the end line.
Yeah, so over the lockdown, how has the panel coped with segregation from the lack of group training? And have you had many challenges in terms of keeping up the motivation in the last few months with no knowledge of when you'd be returning?
Yeah, I suppose, like, speaking to some of the girls, like, it was hard to be motivated when you didn't really see an end in sight, like, with the virus. But I suppose the management were unbelievable. Like, Angelo was putting in training for us every week to do individually, like, putting up pictures of stuff to do. It was all home workouts. Like, it was excellent. Like, I couldn't fault them on that at all. But it would be hard to be motivated when you're doing it by yourself. But I suppose it helps in the long run, like, if you were doing it. So, no, it was grand. We got through it anyway.
Yeah. So Cork, Kilkenny and Galway have been very strong in the last decade in Camogie. And you looked like the most likely team to break up that dominance. Does the panel have belief that the gap can be bridged and finally get to the All-Ireland final this year?
Absolutely. Like, even returning back to training on Tuesday, like, people were, you know, it was from the get-go, it was intense, like, and we were all just delighted to be back. And I suppose when we lost to Galway, like, in the semi last year, it was kind of like we'd left something behind us. Like, we lost by, I think it was 6 points. And they're a phenomenal team, like, even to come close, that close to them. But, you know, we said in the dressing room after that match, like, you know, like, this is not the end for everyone. Like, and you see the likes of Molly Ryan coming back. Like, she's playing for years with Tip. Like, she got an All-Star as well. And, you know, we didn't get to finals and stuff, and we got 3 All-Stars. Like, so I think it is promising. Like, it's looking really promising for Tip, hopefully. Yeah.
So there have been some new rule changes in Camogie this year. There's minimal contact allowed now. The dropping of the hurley is now gone from the game. The hand pass goal is gone. The tapping of the hurley. And there's only one person on the goal line for a penalty, similar to the men's game. Do you think that will improve the sport down the line?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, it's trying to level the playing field, as they're saying, like, with the men's, I suppose. Like, have the girls the same as the men's? Like, why should we be hand passing the ball into the goals? Like, I mean, as a female myself, like, I find my striking is probably one of my poorest attributes to the game. Like, and I suppose since all these skills have, like, been taken out of the game, the hand passing the ball into the net and stuff, we're working on our striking a lot more, like, and improving those things. Like, and I think it's way better. Like, I mean, there's another rule as well. There's a free from the 45. You can take it out of your hands. I'm not really sure about that one, but... no, it is. And especially having contact as well, like, you can't beat that.
Yeah. So these changes obviously are welcomed by the players as needed in the game.
Yeah, I suppose, like, they tried it out last year in the league, and it kind of took a few people, it took a while, like, to get used to it, like, you know, but I think everyone's kind of getting used to it now, so
yeah,
hopefully.
So just to the both of you, I suppose, the both associations, the Camogie and the LGFA, have come out and said that they'll accommodate dual prayers properly, and will have, and this will come as welcome news to a number of the panel, obviously, Aisling and Roisin Howard, Orla Dwyer. Do you feel that there will be a genuine effort to right the wrongs of the last few years, or are they just going to pay, is this lip service?
I think it's improving a lot. Like, I suppose it's really down to management and the communication, but I suppose the match clashes, like, that's just unforgivable, I think, at this stage. Like, it doesn't happen in men's. Like, I know you've very few, you don't really have any dual players in men's, but, like, you wouldn't see that happening if it was in men's. Like, I know it's happened, but they are trying to fix it, like, and hopefully this year it won't happen, like, because, you know, they put in such an effort, like, and to be dragged out of both teams on one day, I just don't think it's fair at all.
Yeah, Samantha, you feel the same. Is it good to see the two organisations at least saying that they're going to work together and right the wrongs of the past?
Yeah, I suppose, look, they said that before as well. Like, and I just never forget Orla having to make the decision between football and Camogie there when we met in that Ireland final in 2017, and she was absolutely distraught inside in the dressing room. I think it was 2019 even. We were just after playing Clare and in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. And, like, she was just, she couldn't even get words out of her mouth, like, because she just didn't know what she was going to do. And she didn't want to pick, like, you know, so it's very hard. And as I said, look, they've been saying that every year. They need to just do it and put their like, actions in place and stop saying it and just do it. And I think until it actually happens and girls don't have to choose, then we'll believe it. Like, so it's grand saying that they will do something, but I think it really, really has to happen. And I think, you know, we're asking people to support female sports. We're asking everyone. But if we can't support ourselves and deal with these kind of clashes with dual players ourselves, I think we're going to stay in the same place. Like, we can't turn around to other people and ask us to support this and level the playing field and all this if we can't actually get two associations to work together and put in place a proper system where girls can play the sports they love without having to put their welfare at risk. Like, it's playing a game within a few hours of each other
halfway across the county or country even, is just not fair. And as Sean says, it's unforgivable, and it's not fair to the players who give 100% to both codes. They should be allowed to play both as best as they can.
Yeah. Sean, would you like to see the Camogie and the LGFA merge as one organisation in their own right, or maybe even what's been said about coming in under the umbrella of Pro Park? Is that something you'd like to see for the game, or keep them separate but as one organisation to cover both codes?
I think it would be nice if they merged together, to be honest. Like, you see the support that the ladies football are getting, like, with Little on board. You know, I think something like that with the Camogie Association would be fantastic, like, for, you know, just to have more access to resources and stuff, because you do see that limitation there with the Camogie, I find, like, in comparison to the football. I think the football have access to a lot more things than the Camogie, and it would be great if they could all go in under the one umbrella, like, and have funds there together for everyone, like.
Yeah. So, Sean, you previously played Club Camogie with Anna Carty. Was it hard to transfer up to Tumi Vera?
Yeah, it was. And it was something that I really had to think long and hard about, I suppose. When I moved to Tumi Vera, I was living up here, and I was travelling up and down for the first year or two, I think, playing with Anna Carty, and I was playing football with Cap White. And I suppose I wasn't really happy. It was really hard to juggle everything. And I suppose when all my family moved up here, I decided it best just to move club. And I suppose I stopped playing football then, because there's not really much clubs up around here for football.
Yeah.
So I just said I'd focus on the Camogie, and I was away in college in Waterford. So it was just too hard as a college student to be driving up and down to Cap White, down over those bad roads.
Yeah, so do you look forward to Tumi Vera? Obviously won the intermediate there in 2019. Do you look forward to the day when you have to tug out against Anna Carty, or is it a day you're dreading?
Well, that day actually came already last year. We played them in the senior championship. I suppose I came up here and we won junior and intermediate, and it was great. But, like, I suppose you do always remember your home club, like. So I suppose when we got up to senior, then we were meeting them in a match, and I was fairly nervous for it, because obviously I was playing against some of my former teammates, you know, and people who I'd be friends with. I thought I was going to get the ankles taken off me, but thankfully I didn't anyway.
Yeah, the senior championship in Tip in Camogie is very competitive at the moment, and Drum and Burgess obviously are probably up at the top of it, but Clonoulty, Cashelaar, after coming with a young team, Anna Carty, as we've spoken about, and yourselves, it's going to be tough to break into that group, such as the standards that those Camogie teams have.
Absolutely, like, you could nearly call it a senior A and a senior B. Like, I mean, once you go up to senior, it's some jump. Like, even Sam said there with the intercounty, like, going from intermediate to senior, like, there's no comparison, the difference. But I suppose it'll just take, like, a bit of development in the club and bringing on the younger ones, I suppose, and hopefully trying to get up to the likes of Drum and Burgess, because they're at the top, I suppose, in the group.
So, yeah, just both of you, Sean, you've obviously played ladies football with the county, and you both have played with Aisling McCarthy and Orla Dwyer, who were absolutely ripping it up out in Australia, Orla winning the grand final there at the weekend. But while you wish them all the luck in the world, are you a bit jealous of them that they get to play as professional athletes and live that lifestyle that they get to live?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no line there, I don't think. Like, geez, any sports person, I think, would love to have that as their kind of job, let's say, or whatever, doing it day in, day out. Well, I certainly would, anyway. And I think the girls are really, as you said, they're ripping it up out there. They're really performing, and it's great. They're accredited themselves in their county, and I think it'll take more and more ladies footballers, to be honest, over the next couple of years. And sure, look, it's an opportunity you can't turn down. You can't begrudge anyone for taking it up, like, either. So more power to them, the best of luck to them in the next few years, because I can't see any club out there letting them go too easy, you know.
They're a great asset to any of the AFL teams. Like, you can see how well the Irish girls are doing over there with the all the stats that they have up. Lord God, I can't keep up with them, but they seem to be doing really, really well. And as you said, it's hard to turn down a kind of professional sports life. And I certainly wouldn't turn down anyway, that's for sure.
If Cross Coders came knocking in the morning, Shauna, would you grab it with open arms?
I would absolutely be gone on the first flight. I've often thought about it.
He's only out on the beach, don't mind that.
That's allowed too. So, look, just before we finish up, I'm going to fire a couple of questions at you. Maybe Sam, you can go. We'll alternate it, but just one word answers. Toughest opponent that you've had to play against?
Ash and Loney.
Shauna.
Karen Kennedy.
You don't have to say Sam now.
I would say Karen Kennedy.
What's the most enjoyable game you've ever played in, Sam?
The All Ireland final, I'd say, against Meath 2019. Close, but enjoyable.
I'd have to bring this one back to club now against Kilruane in an intermediate county semi-final, I'd say.
Who was your GA hero growing up?
I think I mentioned it already, Andy McDermott.
Shauna?
I'd have to say Angie, and I suppose Deirdre Hughes as well is a big name in the Camogie side of things too.
If you could revisit one moment in your career and change it, what would you choose?
I suppose, look, the relegation battle in against Kevin up, what was it, 9 points at half time and lost, or was it 12 points even at half time and lost? And he does that pure panic.
We might give you a skip on that one, Shauna. You're still playing, so we'll...
Yeah.
What part of training or games do you dislike the most, Sam?
The cool down. I hate stretching at the end.
I hate that as well. I really don't like doing rucks or like batting the ball in Camogie and doing all those kind of drills. Not for me.
What attribute separates an inter-county player from a club player?
Mindset for me and an attitude.
Yeah, I think commitment and dedication to like eat properly, train properly, you know, sacrifice that drinking session. Yeah.
When does that happen, Shauna?
Every weekend.
do you have any superstitions?
Me?
Yeah.
I could list them for you. The girls will tell you. I'd be locked over if I told you half of them.
I don't even know.
What's the biggest sacrifice you had to make as an inter-county player?
I make any sacrifice because I love the game so much, if I'm being quite honest about it. I suppose maybe what I could pick out is sacrificing time with your family and friends, but they knew I loved it so much and they support me. And I suppose at the end of the nearly, I kind of had a little fan club coming around after me at the games. And Christ, it was like the Sunday game back here, the day after a match. And my family don't hold back, let's say. So I don't know what you call it, constructive criticism or to the point, but I know it's all part of it. And as I said, look, when you love a game so much, it's not a sacrifice, but maybe if I had to pick one, it's just time with family and friends I lost out on. But sure, look, they can have all of me now. They're grand.
Shauna,
I think, I suppose I'd love to be still playing Jewel. So I often think about it, like I sacrificed football for playing Camogie. But I often think about going back. I suppose it was a really big sacrifice. So I don't know.
Well, my next question is directed solely to you. Am I ever going to see you in a Cappa Ladies football jersey again? I'll dangle the carrot that if you come back this year, you might get a crack off Samantha Lambert.
Jeez, I actually never thought about that. I'm still registered to the club, would you believe? I might make the comeback this year.
Just
play against me, Shauna.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the Ladies Football Championship in 2021, Sam?
Oh, no. I think it's going to be a funny year, if I'm being honest. I'd love Tip to win it. Armagh.
about yourself? Who do you think, Shauna?
For the football or the camogie?
No, the ladies football.
I'd love to see Tip win it. I think they're really young, but there's, I don't know. I haven't a clue, really. Dublin, I suppose, are up there, aren't they?
Yeah. We won't ask Sean at this one. Who'll win the camogie, Sam?
Tip. You.
Who? What about the men's? Seen All Ireland hurling?
Limerick.
I would probably say Limerick or Tip.
And the football?
Dublin. Dublin. And you can ask me that again in 20 years' time.
No, Dublin are banned now.
Oh, they're banned.
Right. That's all I have for you, Shauna Quirk, Samantha Lambert. Thanks very much for joining us on the Premier League podcast and the best of luck in 2021.
Thanks a million.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.